Hello, my name is Armando, and welcome to The Plant Nook. What's up, plant fam? Hope you're doing well. There's a very good chance that behind the audio you might hear my AC, because right now it is balls hot in Syracuse. It's been reaching into the 90s every day for a couple of days now, and it's supposed to drop down to like 72, 73 next week, but it's going to be mid-80s after that. So it's been relatively hot here. I found so far that my plants absolutely love it. They're really, really liking it, and I'm not. So if you didn't know that for a while I didn't have AC, I sort of took it in stride. I took the heat in stride and did my best to sleep and whatever in my room without air conditioning, because a bunch of my plants are in my corner of my bedroom, a little section that I affectionately called the Plant Nook, and which then I took the name of my podcast as that little section of my bedroom. And for over a year, I dealt with the no air conditioning. Last year, it wasn't so bad. I felt like I was able to do it a lot better last year because I had a fan going at all times, mainly one, since it is a box of a room with one window. I wanted to keep the air circulating so just things didn't mold over or what have you. So I, you know, dealt with it and I kept the fan on. And basically, the fan is on 24/7. But this year specifically, oh my God, it's been so hot and also incredibly humid, I should also mention. I think the average humidity has been maybe around 70 to 80 the last couple of days outside, and I'm looking at the humidity right now and it is at 87%. So it's been ridiculously hot and humid here in central New York. Now this heat has been felt essentially everywhere, especially in the northwest of America. Shout out to like my homies out in that Seattle area, Plant Daddy Podcast, Matthew and Steven. I listened to your episode today, and I am feeling you right now. It was so hot, especially for over there, because they're not as used to this high heat as they are. And it's even hotter there than it is here. And this is a little on the normal side for us. Granted, I feel like it's just really hot and really humid this week, and so I feel like Mother Nature is sort of catching up, because it didn't rain as much as it should have, I think, in the spring. So Mother Nature's like, you're getting it now. So I think that just drove up the humidity. But shout out to all the peeps out on the northwest side of the United States. Keep going. I think I heard or saw somewhere that the temperature should be going down soon. So best of luck. Much love to all of you. But I broke down and bought myself a portable air conditioner. One, technically it is dehumidifying, so it's going to collect water. So I think that's going to be really cool, because I'm going to look into it, but I think I can probably use the water that it absorbs to water the plants, which will be great. And I also wanted to get the a portable kind, just because I want to bring it outside of my room when I'm not at home, so the cats can have it during the day, because I'm sure they're dying. They were actually seated in front of the door that I'm in. And I should also mention that my roommate recently just moved out. We're in the process of moving, and I'm still here. I'm still here for at least another week or two, which is terrifying, because I still need to really pack and clean up everything. But so I moved my bed into the spare room and put the AC in here. So my most quote-unquote prized plants that love the humidity and the heat are still in my bedroom, and they're not going to be moving until I actually have to leave. But in any case, I got an AC. I will be using it. Even despite the excess heat and all that, a lot of my plants are doing super, super well. The Monstera, if you saw on my Instagram, the Monstera that I quote-unquote rescued, it was basically, I think I mentioned this either last, no, I don't think I mentioned it last week because I kind of cut straight to the chase because it was an interview with Adam. I essentially had a Monstera deliciosa cutting that I brought to work. It got pests. It didn't do well, so I just left it outside earlier this year, around February. So, right? February, Central New York, cold, lots of snow. And I got my plumeria cuttings and was like, oh, cool, I'm going to take that pot. And mind you, I got my plumeria cuttings in June. Checked to see the pot to get rid of the old Monstera. Lo and behold, there was a new leaf coming out. And now it's huge, and there's one fenestration in it. And I was so shocked and surprised that this plant survived. Now, the original Monstera that I had wasn't doing so hot either, but now it is growing a new leaf. So I am so super excited to see that one grow. My Philodendron Hastatum, yes, Philodendron Hastatum, Silver Sword is just doing so, so well. My Philodendron Melanocrysum is also doing well. And honestly, all my plants have beautiful new growth, so I am so super excited. All right, so you kind of got a little spiel of my plants and sort of life updates, which is mainly the move right now. So I'm moving to my sister's house, which is still here in Syracuse. I'm moving to my sister's house for a few months, then in November, before I leave, because my lease ends in this apartment, then I'm headed over to Colorado in November. So you got a little spiel, and now let's sort of dive into the topic at hand. So this week is a plant tidbit, and I want to talk about Anthurium clarinervium. So I like to think, and I'm 99% positive that Anthurium clarinervium may be my favorite plant. It is absolutely gorgeous, and honestly, seeing pictures of them, love them, so beautiful, but seeing them in person is so breathtaking. If you've never gotten a chance to see an Anthurium clarinervium, head to your closest botanical garden. I am sure that they're going to have this plant there because it's a stunner. It is a very stunning plant. I think my favorite thing about them is just the contrast between the venation and the leaf. The leaf itself is this really dark green. It's super, super dark, and it's this, and you could see the texture. You could see sort of the velvety texture of the dark green leaf. And then the venation is this bright, light green, almost white vein color on it, and it's so contrasting to the dark leaf. It is beautiful. If you've never seen one in person, you definitely need to see it. So this particular plant, Anthurium clarinervium, is native to Chiapas, Mexico. So it is in the Americas. It's a relatively compact growing plant. It kind of becomes a little shrubby and will grow a ton of leaves in a more compact manner. I think comparative to a lot of the aroids that we know and love, a lot of aroids tend to really sprawl or vine or really grow really, really tall. But the Anthurium clarinervium, generally speaking, is pretty compact, 1 to 2 centimeters thick with short internodes, basically, in the stem. Now, if you don't give your Anthurium enough light, just like other plants, it can etiolate and then the shrubbiness kind of goes away. However, these plants, if you look at the leaf, they're super, super dark. That generally means that they're usually shaded. They have these dark colors in order to absorb as much light as possible. But you don't want to go too dark. So indoor lighting, You want to try probably going for an east-facing window if you want to do natural light, or a west-facing window a little bit further away from the window itself, just because of looking at these leaves and thinking about where they grow. I was reading somewhere that they're epiphytic, which I am not 100% sure. I haven't seen anybody grow this particular plant either on a pole or anything like that. I believe possibly they'll use poles for support, but if you ever have seen anthuriums and how they grow, they generally stack up and create a very large stem. So I don't personally see the epiphytic nature of the plant itself, but obviously my experience with Anthurium clarinervium is mostly with houseplants. Although, come to think of it, I have seen different anthuriums, like Anthurium vichii, grown on like cliff faces or what have you in a botanical garden setting. So it's quite possible that it is epiphytic, but generally speaking, I have not seen people grow these on any form of board or moss pole. So how I grow it, it is on my top shelf in my plant nook, and it's probably, I want to say 4 or 5 feet away from my Soltec Solution aspect light. So it's getting maybe medium to sort of a lower bright light, if you understand what I'm trying to say. So it's a medium to high, but not incredibly high. Bright indirect light is going to work the best. You know, give it as bright light as possible without getting any light actually on it. So no direct light. So as bright as possible. Honestly, even a south-facing window with maybe a sheer curtain to block out as much light as possible can probably work really, really well for an Anthurium clarinervium. I want to say, though, try and get a grow light to help supplement it just so it's not leaning. Because if you can get a nice shrubby plant from all angles, it'll look amazing. And like I said today, the humidity is generally pretty high in that room, especially with the window open. It's about 4 feet away from a north-facing window that's constantly open in the summer. So it's getting relatively high humidity. And so I think that's helping a lot in terms of how it's growing. It also has a nice chunky, aeroidy mix soil to it. I remember talking to Stacia from Oops, I Soiled My Planties, talking about different anthuriums and the best ways to grow them. And she was talking, I forgot what she's doing now with her plants in particular. I know she has some form of really gritty soil mixture with sphagnum on top of it for some of her anthuriums. And I kind of asked her about clarinervium. She said, oh, I grow that in soil. It seems to be doing the best in soil. A nice chunky aeroidy mix. So I have it in, I want to say it's equal parts potting soil and perlite and half part horticultural charcoal and orchid bark to give it a nice chunky texture. I want to try putting in some LECA. I think the next time I repot it, add LECA to the mix to give even more air to it. I haven't really been watering it as often, although I think I should probably water it more often now because of the heat. But generally speaking, once a week. I haven't seen really any sort of signs of it telling me that it needs water like some of my plants. So I've been trying to just water it when a good chunk of it has dried. Thinking, you know, rainforest, it doesn't really sit in water because the water is going to run right through the roots. Just if I'm thinking correctly of how it's growing, it doesn't sit in water. So you want to try and get it as nice and airy in the roots and having water run through it relatively quickly, but still retaining some moisture just so it doesn't completely dry out. Now, for a while when I had my plant, I just didn't see anything. When it first came to me, I got it from Miss Lady, the plant lady on Instagram. It came with two leaves to start with. Yeah, it came with two leaves. No, it came with three leaves to start with, I think. I don't remember. But it came with a small amount of leaves, and one of them didn't make it because it got damaged in the shipping process. And so I had to cut that one off. And then, no, yeah, I came in with 3 leaves, cut that one off, because then I was left with 2, and then one is not doing so hot now, but then it shot out new growth after about 5 or 6 months. Now, I was talking to Matthew from Plant Daddy Podcast about this, and he said that, generally speaking, it takes them a while to acclimate, and then once they do, they'll grow, not fast, but they'll start growing for you. According to some of the things I've researched, it is a really slow-growing plant, and I can really attest to that. So, if you're ever going to get an Anthurium clarinervium, be patient with it. It will shoot out growth soon enough, as soon as it's acclimated to the conditions you are giving it. I did have the pleasant opportunity for my Anthurium to flower. I did collect the pollen, and it's currently in my freezer. I was talking to Meg on Meg Grows Plants on Instagram, who is also once called Once Upon a Philodendron, and she also gathered pollen from one of her Anthuriums. It wasn't a clarinervium. She froze it and then used it to pollinate another plant, and it worked for her. So I'm giving it a go. We'll see what happens. I believe right now it's all male flowers, and I think the flower will die back and turn into female flowers. I have to double check the flowering process of an Anthurium clarinervium, but we'll see when we get there. But yeah, it shot out a new leaf at the same time of shooting out an inflorescence, so I was pretty damn excited. And so far it has slowed down, and I think part of it is it might just be too hot, and I might need to just be on top of the watering a little bit more, but I'm so nervous about overwatering it, so I tend to underwater it then overwater it. But it's still alive, it's still kicking, so I'm super, super excited. It honestly is my favorite plant. 99% sure, like I said. I love plants in general, but it's just such a strikingly beautiful plant. It's gorgeous to look at, and it's completely rewarding when you see a new leaf coming out of it, just because it is a slow-growing plant, and so you're like, awesome, I'm giving it conditions that it likes, it's putting out new growth, and you feel very accomplished when it comes to growing an Anthurium clarinervium, and you see it pushing out new growth. Now, there sometimes it does get confused with Anthurium crystallinum. Frequently enough, I will always say crystallinum, no, I mean clarinervium, just because those two are really popular Anthuriums in the plant hobby. What I found so far is Anthurium crystallinum, the leaves aren't as dark as the clarinervium, and they tend to be a little bit longer, more oblong in shape rather than the heart shape that we know with the crystallinum. So not to say that these aren't beautiful plants, but they're not as striking in contrast. The leaves themselves are a typical green leaf with a lighter shade of green, almost a whitish on the veins, so they still have sort of that crystalline look that the clarinervium has, but with the clarinervium, the dark foliage against the really bright crystalline veining is incredibly beautiful, and the contrast is so much deeper than the crystallinum, and the heart shape is a little bit more, like, I won't say squat. So the leaves are a little squatter from what I'm seeing with the crystallinum. Not to say that, you know, one's better than the other. But I think the nice thing about the clarinervium, since it does give more of a squat form in the leaves, it gives you a little bit more of that compact feeling. So it doesn't look as busy as some of the other plants can get when they're growing out nice and beautiful. So if, like I said, if you've never had the opportunity to see one, definitely try and find one, either just to go look at a botanic garden. And the prices aren't as high as they used to be, but they can still be pricey for some people who are either new to the hobby, or, you know, we had a whole pandemic, you know, so some of us don't have the opportunity to purchase high priced plants. So obviously, if you can't do it, don't do it. But if you have the opportunity to, definitely give it a try. Like I said, you have to be pretty patient with it. For a really long time, I was a little anxious. Like, am I doing this right? Am I not? Am I killing it? Yada, yada, yada. But it just needs a lot of time to acclimate to your environment. So give it a chance, let it do its thing, and it will grow for you. Alrighty, y'all. So that's it for this week. I am probably going to take the next week or two off just to focus on packing and moving my stuff and making sure things are squared away. But then I should be back hopefully in a week or two. So I will probably not post anything maybe until about mid-July. All right. So definitely hit me up on Instagram at the Plant Nook Podcast if you're missing out on some episodes. We can always chat there about plants. You can also send me an email, theplantnook@gmail.com, if you have any other questions or just want to talk. You can also head to anchor.fm/theplantnook to find out more ways to support the show. Or if you're really missing me the next couple of weeks, you could probably head to my merch shop and get yourself a t-shirt so you can always be looking at yourself with either the hashtag PlantFam shirt or the Plant Nook Podcast logo shirt. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Don't forget to share. We want to try and grow this Plant Fam. So let's get the word out there on this show. But until next time, have a lovely couple of weeks off, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Hope to share more with you guys next time. Bye. The music you heard in this podcast is called Hard Fought Victory from Purple Planet Music. And now, a word from our sponsor.